Did you know this podcast is powered by Acast? Acast is the home of podcasting. For creators looking for freedom to grow their listeners and make money too. And creative brands looking for smart ways to advertise. Podcasters and advertisers in the know Acast. It's time you did too. Visit acast.com to find out more. Acast, for the stories.
You're listening to Fucks Given, the one with Alex Fox.
Welcome to Fucks Given. I'm Reed.
And I'm Florence, and we are on a mission to revolutionise the sex space, break down barriers, and give the lowdown on all things sexy.
Every week, we will welcome a special guest to share with us their juicy details about their best fucks, worst fucks, or even the fucks that changed them.
And we'll also hear your guys' sex questions and your worst sex stories.
We're all about celebrating your sex. We're removing the stigma around the whole number bullshit.
No matter how many people you've slept with, the number never matters because the fucks given are the fucks that made us.
Welcome.
You glorious twin shapes of wonder.
Woo, we've been so looking forward to having you here.
Yes. Cheers, my dears. I've been looking forward to being smeared all over your studio. Although if I sound a bit reticent, it's because listeners at home or wherever they may be listening don't know that we've just been talking about doing shots of bull spunk.
They do not. Yeah. This was literally the pre-podcast conversation.
A gal's got to clear a throat before beginning a podcast after such a conversation.
Yeah, we'll try not to gag. Alex, please tell our wonderful listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, there's quite a lot to tell, I suppose. You know how people on the internet think that apple cider vinegar can do everything in the world? Clean your windows, cure your tonsillitis, disinfect your bath. I feel like my job is a little bit like that. I've got fingers in more pies than a clumsy baker. So, I do deal with all things sweet and fruity, from the coochie to the booty, and some things that aren't so sweet, the rather more sour bits of sex. I'm a writer, a broadcaster, and a sex educator.
Wonderful.
So we have to ask you, what do you think about the stigma surrounding the number of people that you have slept with?
I think the concept of the body count really puts the dick in ridiculous, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Really does.
I think for a start, when people ask about your number, they often mean the number of people you've had intercourse with,
yes,
rather than the number of people that you have been sexual with or had any kind of intimate or erotic involvement with.
And people don't
usually
like keep count of like all the intimate connections that they have with people, but they would with intercourse.
Yeah, it's another reflection of that wider issue in society that we have of being so busy with focusing our concentration on penetration.
Yeah.
And as I often say, the sole goal of sex should not be putting a pole in a hole. And yet this is what we fixate on so much.
Yeah.
And the idea of asking people, well, how many people have you been penetrated by or penetrated yourself, just perpetuates that.
Fuck number one.
The first fuck.
Oh, okay. Well, I lost my virginity on the most disgusting sofa known to man.
Oh, God.
Seriously. It was fluorescent orange.
Wow.
Like some kind of stupendous Satsuma colour with hideous, really bold floral pattern on it, to the point where the pattern of the sofa was so loud that you would have to wear earplugs, and looking at it was more painful than my first first incidents of intercourse. Yeah,
sounds like it's overshadowed your shag. Yeah.
Well, my mum actually sold it a few months. She just happened to
mum's?
Sell it. Yeah, it was my mum.
It was a
pull out, one of those pull out sofa beds that she had downstairs in the lounge for when guests came over. So my first experience of sex was pull out in one way or another. Actually, it was very sensible. We used a condom. I was on the pill. I was
good.
Yeah,
that's very,
I knew
very
my
sensible.
Stuff from a young age.
Very sensible.
But I was 16 years old on this hideous sofa, and a couple of weeks afterwards, my mum just happened to sell it. So I had this weird experience of watching a stranger from Loot magazine try and awkwardly shove the location of my deflowering, the hideously flowered location of my deflowering into the back of a transit van. But again, I would say that his pushing and shoving was all the less elegant than the sex. My first experience of sex, I am so lucky, was it went smooth as an ice rink covered in baby oil. It was joyful. Amazing. It was positive. I was deeply in love with the first person that I had sex with. I can't even say fucked. I mean, the first adult experience, consensual adult experience that I had, we weren't really adults. We were so young. We were both 16.
Children.
Yeah. Well, I don't like using that term. But yeah, but it was two almost adults trying to do a sort of adult thing, and it was, as I'm sure you get from the way I'm speaking here, it was gorgeously innocent. It was sweeter than a paddling pool full of liquid sucrose. It was just gorgeous. And I went on top. And I
on your first time.
I've only since learned that that's uncommon. Quite unusual. Yeah,
you did it as well.
Did you?
Yeah, but it was more like, I've watched a lot of porn and I want to try out all the moves all at once. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, I'll go on top. I'm cool. I'm hip. Yeah. And then I was like, this is shit.
My second time was in the shower.
And
that's your pride and place.
Which is
kind of crazy for a second time.
My second time, apologies to my brother, was on the backseat of my bro's Peugeot 106, which also got sold a few weeks afterwards.
Oh my God.
So public sex, sofa sex, what is this?
Actually, you say public, it wasn't public. I lived right in the middle of nowhere in the sticks. And my boyfriend and I obviously both lived with our parents at age 16. Mm. And so we had sex wherever we could get away to and get away with it. And it was frequently in cars. I actually really miss car sex.
I've never had car sex. Oh my God, I'm missing out.
I don't think I've had car sex. I've had car like oral.
Oh, we were permanently revving up the car, ragging it away, and then shagging in the deepest, darkest corners of Cheshire. Yeah,
it's actually really uncomfortable, I imagine. Awkward, you've got like weird... I was going to say joysticks, that's not how you ride a car.
Yeah. How do you have good car sex?
I'm not sure quite how romantic and or comfortable it was, but I was so excited to just be having sex with this guy I was deeply in love with that it didn't matter. Yeah. And it was always exciting. But just crank the seat right down. It had a little sunroof, so, you know, we could see the stars.
Oh my God.
Occasionally, if we were feeling particularly daring, then we'd go on the bonnet. Don't do that if you've been driving for a while, because it gets extremely fucking hot and you will burn your ass cheeks.
Did that happen to you?
And you will shriek so loudly that you will scare the sheep in the farmer's field next to you, which will then cause you to drop your knickers on the floor. You will then tread backwards into a cow shit.
No.
That was definitely not one of my hotter exploits.
Oh my God. Fuck two. The best fuck.
I find this question really difficult to answer. I would definitely say that my current partner is the person who I feel I have the most fulfilling and full sexual experiences with.
Yeah.
But I think that's partly because we communicate with each other and we're both really respectful of each other's boundaries, but equally enthusiastic to be open-minded. I would say we're just very much aligned in our tastes. Wow, for something very lustful, I'm making it sound quite clinical here, aren't I? But the reason I sound hesitant is because I'm really aware that we have the benefit of many years of evolving and of learning about ourselves. Mm. And I don't know whether it's really hard to pinpoint one best fuck, isn't it? Because there are all sorts of moments in my sexual life that I remember as poignant and pertinent and that I often think of in, in juicy terms that maybe weren't the best fuck, but they are some of the best memories because of what they meant to me at that particular moment. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember I had had an encounter with an ex-boyfriend that was in. He was a he worked as a lifeguard. Ooh, and so we we got it on in the changing rooms of a pool.
Oh wow.
And whenever I smell chlorine and you know you hear the those very set acoustics of a changing room and you can hear the pool outside, it makes me remember of being like goosebump skin from the combined powers of being incredibly turned on and quite chilly because I just got out of the pool and trying to be quiet so that nobody around us knew and wondering whether anybody could see the fact that there were clearly two pairs of feet in that cubicle. That was a really hot
moment.
People
walking around outside.
Yeah, and that was of what made it so illicit and explicit and thus exciting was that we had to keep it on the hush-hush.
Nice.
Other best fucks, some of them are with myself. I remember getting, I went travelling as a lot of people do in their early 20s. And there was nothing original about it, but it's something that a lot of privileged folks do after university for good reason because it's had a wild old time. Yeah, exactly. But I went to Thailand. Thailand is a wonderful place. However, it is also a massive cliche. And I found myself, because didn't we fucking all? Yeah. But I also found myself getting very wound up by the fact that there was a lot of sexual tension between me and another guy that was in my group of travellers. It never really came to a head. Not on that particular trip, anyway. It did later in my life.
Oh, travel sex is the best.
Well, it didn't happen on that trip. But I did have a wonderful masturbatory moment in a very cold shower on a very hot beach. In fact, I think a lot of my best fuck memories have either involved extremes of temperature or water for some reason. Yeah.
Interesting.
That is so interesting.
Maybe into hot and cold play.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm definitely not turned on by cold play. Although I bet there's some piss play specialists out there who are thinking, I get off to yellow.
Yeah, good.
Fuck 3.
The worst fuck.
Okay, I really debated whether to go funny or serious here. Because I definitely, like a lot of people, I definitely had those fucks that fucked up and been really comical. Yeah. And as you know, on Unexpected Fluids, we talk about people doing everything from getting their todger stuck in a very heavy oak cheese board for 7 hours. Or knocking themselves out. We had somebody who used a butt plug and accidentally forced it out with such vigour that it flew across the room and hit their cat. Dazed their cat. Yeah.
No.
And I've definitely had my funny moments. There was a while ago with a partner where we'd been doing some S&M inspired stuff. I was wearing a blindfold. I was on all fours on a leash. There'd been some spanking going on. And he very thoughtfully decided that he was going to put something cold on my buttocks, with the idea that it would both help to deflate any swelling there and cool me down after a good old spanking, but also, you know, that temperature play and the shock when you're blindfolded is exciting. Mm-hmm. However, the first thing that he could grab that was cold happened to be a bag of frozen peas, which exploded upon contact with my butt cheeks, flew all over the room we were in, which I didn't even know where we were until I pulled off the blindfold and was greeted with the sight of my kitchen absolutely covered in bird's eyes best. And he was quite a hirsute guy. And the peas were so cold that they'd stuck all in his chest hair, in his pubes, on his face. He looked like a kind of budget Mr. Blobby, just covered in spots. And we had to get him in the shower and then I had to get all the peas out the bath of the sieve and it was not sexy.
Did that completely ruin the moment?
Actually, we laughed about it. Wouldn't count it as that's. It's far from one of my first, one of my worst sexual moments. Yeah. I actually kind of count it as one of the best because we had to break it down and giggle about it. And I think that's a really important part of sex.
So important.
I've also had the disaster scenario, which I am sure I'm not alone in this, where, you know, when you're trying to seduce somebody, it's maybe the first time that you've gotten nude skin on skin with them. Or, I was Well, we weren't quite at the nude stage. We were at the point where we were both in underwear.
Yeah.
And I was making so much eye contact that I was like Medusa trying to turn him to stone, at least downstairs. And kind of, you know, giving it all that seductive, telling him, you know, what I was going to do to him.
Yeah.
Slowly started making my way down his body. I was on the yellow dick road, you know, the like little hairy pathway towards the groin. And then as I got closer and closer, I realised it was quite a pungent smell of pee on the in the groinal area.
Oh.
And I was completely forgiving of this because we'd been on a very boozy date.
Yeah.
We'd been very enthusiastic about each other's company. I imagine that, you know, when you dash off to the toilet during a date and you try and pee and wash your hands as fast as you possibly can, you're out there like a shot because you just want to continue the conversation. And I thought, you know, poor dude, he probably just didn't shake it before he put it away enough times or something. So no judgment here. I don't think this person had poor hygiene.
Yeah, just
I think just maybe he'd been on the booze and there are a few droplets left and it was, but it was a sitch that meant that it put out the fires in my loins straight away.
It's so hard to like get fully turned on again when you smell something like that, or you see like just like a little bit of fluff down there and you're just like, okay,
tissue's the worst.
Like, oh god,
open your legs and there's like toilet tissue and you're like, oh fuck. Sorry, that's
all
happened to me so many times. Like dry vagina, tissue paper just loves sticking to it anyway.
Once I see one of those things, I can't then just go down on it because I'm just like, in my mind I'm just like, okay, this is in my mouth now, and then like I'm trying to get rid of the smell.
No,
it's like there's fluff everywhere.
I'm afraid that after my seductive like snake down the body, I was quickly climbing the ladder back up at that point. Poor dude, he must have wondered what on earth had gone wrong.
Did you actually climb back up the ladder?
I just thought I'm gonna return to kissing him because I don't think there's I must be clear, this wasn't somebody who hadn't taken care of their personal hygiene.
It happens sometimes. Yeah. If it's a hot, sweaty day, if there's toilet trips happening plenty after drinking. I mean, it happens to me like even now and I'm just like, okay, it smells a bit down there. Just going to stay up there.
Oh my God. I had morning sex a while ago after having some really... We're talking about the tsunami of wet dreams. And I was definitely more than fragrant, shall we say. And it kind of turned me on. I was like, oh, I'm so animalistic and filthy. But I was also thinking, Jesus, this is like a miasma, Christ. I'm surprised it wasn't like some kind of... I'm surprised you couldn't see the cloud. Do you remember watching Bedknobs and Broomsticks when you were a kid? And she has... The witch rides on that like motorcycle that kicks out clouds of sulfurous yellow smoke. I kind of imagined that my sex just stench was like that. Like, yeah. But I do think we need to be more upfront and unabashed about our bodies and less shamed about that. It's great to you know, wash yourself and be hygienic and groom. I actually really love the ritual of grooming myself when I know that I've got a date. It brings me pleasure to do the shaving and the anointing and the you know, the preparation. For me, it's part of,
because it makes you feel desirable and like soft and smooth.
Yeah, and it's for me, it's part of the lead up. I'm thinking while I'm in the shower about what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying, oh, we should all be minging all the time. But the truth is that sometimes human being bodies are naturally minging.
Yeah.
And I don't think that we should... I think if you're gonna slide and ride each other, then sometimes...
Yeah, you can't expect that.
Yeah, you just got to suck a dirty dick or lick a smelly fanny. I've done that so many times where you're just like, you're in the moment. It's just, the last thing you want to do is like, sorry, could you wash yourself?
Well, you can stick someone in the shower and make it sexy. Or you can, nobody's obliged to do something they don't want to, but you can switch up your play. I think it's just, there's a lot of squeamishness about natural bodily fluids and bodily goings on.
Once I was on my period and this guy that I was seeing, he was just like, okay, just like hop in the shower, like wash yourself out, get back into bed. And he's like, I'm going to eat you out. I was like, what? On my period? And then I did it, and he did. And I was just, like, so shocked, because obviously I'd never thought anyone would ever want to go down on me whilst I was on my period.
Did you feel comfortable with that? I'm not saying you shouldn't.
Yeah, I did, yeah. I mean, I was slightly hesitant at first, but then it was bloody amazing.
There are some people who really get off on that, aren't they? Yeah. Called bloodhounds.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, they really seek it out. Ooh. It's interesting. I think for some, it's just they like that kind of rawness and realness of it. And
yeah.
I guess I imagine that there's some people who get off on it because it's taboo or they see it as the ultimate intimate act. Mm. However, I have also read about some guys who see it as kind of a badge of honour to their masculinity to have dared to go there. And that makes me feel maybe a little bit... I'm not keen on that. But funny stuff aside, I think it's probably important for me to talk about one of several more serious, worst situations that I found myself in sexually.
Yeah.
I have spoken about this once before, but I feel like it's important for me to reach as many people as I can.
Yeah, of course.
So I've worked as a journalist for nearly a decade and a half now, and I've met all sorts of interesting people during that time. A good few years ago, I was assigned to interview somebody, a young guy, who had become famous quite quickly, and righteously so, for being great at his job, which was he was involved in acting. I'm picking my words here for reasons that will become clear. He was actually a bit of an asshole during the interview and made my job really, really hard. I couldn't file the piece in the end, so you won't be able to find out who he is by Googling all of the many things I've written. And I left feeling a bit despondent and also a bit nervous about how I was going to tell my editor that things had not gone smoothly.
Yeah.
Later that evening, he contacted me via social media to apologise and say that he'd had a really tough day and he was just frazzled and not at his best.
Yeah.
I couldn't work out whether he was doing this because he genuinely felt bad that he'd not made my life easy, or whether he was just trying to do some damage repair and he thought he'd fucked up with the journalist. But either way, I thought it was nice that he reached out when he didn't have to. We ended up chatting and he invited me out for a drink, and I wasn't sure whether it was a date or again him trying to make reparations with somebody in the media, or whether he was just trying to be friendly. But I was single at the time. I was quite starstruck. He was a very good looking guy. The evening progressed. I was surprised that he wasn't a really big drinker. We didn't drink a lot.
Yeah.
Sad that I mentioned that, isn't it? But isn't it programmed into us as women that we have to defend ourselves when alcohol might be involved in an evening if the evening doesn't go as planned?
Yeah.
Anyway, when he suggested that we go back to his place for coffee, for coffee, I thought, why the hell not? I'm really getting on with him. This is an adventure.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And I was enjoying the experience until I looked up to realise that he was filming me without my permission.
Weird. Right.
And had never mentioned that there was a camera on me. I didn't know how long that he had been filming me.
Was he just doing this with his phone, or like it was a secret camera?
No, he was filming with his phone.
Weird.
Whilst you were doing stuff together.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're already sexually involved at the moment.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I thought this was like mid-conversation.
No, this was mid-sexual encounter. No. I was nude. Like I say, I don't know how long he'd been filming, so I'm not sure what was caught on camera.
Mm.
My immediate reaction was to go, whoa, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And you know that bile surge of fear when you feel threatened, and I immediately thought, oh fuck, I don't know what he's got on there. I feel scared. Is he broadcasting this?
Yeah, it could be live.
You know, is he streaming this? What is going on? And he tried to reassure me by saying, oh, you just look really hot and I want to watch this myself tomorrow. I'll get off on it. And
that's not okay though, without your permission.
Definitely not without your permission.
It's definitely not okay. And you know what? Now I would absolutely say, give me that phone right now. I'm wiping that. This is not okay.
Yeah.
However, the reason I think it's important for me to share this is it's my job professionally to talk about sex, okay? I'm not somebody who's particularly shy or restrained or repressed. Mm. I was definitely younger then, and I was less empowered as a person. I found it harder to put my foot down with people, mm-hmm. but I wasn't a shy wallflower. And yet, I found myself in that moment thinking, oh, well, I better keep him happy, or otherwise I don't know what he's going to do with this material.
God damn.
And so I almost played up to it. I think it was still very obvious to him that I felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I decided to sort of like think, oh, well, okay. And again, my instinct, sadly, as a woman, was to think, how can I make this right? Yeah. Maybe if I can just please him enough, then this will be fine. He'll want to go on a date with me again, and I'll be safe because we'll know each other better, and yeah. I'll be able to maintain a relationship, and then we'll be able to talk about this, and it'll be fine, and we'll yeah. laugh about
and
it.
And it's
in
hard
the future.
To be defensive with someone that you don't know as well.
No, it takes a lot of courage. Really, to speak really out. Scared.
Mm. Yeah,
and my reaction to that fear wasn't to defend myself and tell him that he was a piece of shit. Yeah. My reaction to that fear was to do the first thing that occurred to me instinctively, sadly, in the moment, which was to go along with whatever he wanted because I was frightened.
Fuck number four.
The last fuck.
Thankfully, I'm really glad that I get to like return to the fun stuff now, having brought us down to the dreary depths of when sex can be awful. My last fuck, I am very glad to say, was superb. Mm. It was not an all guns blazing BDSM X-rated extravaganza. It was actually less BDSM, more post barbecue. We were both my partner and I were both really full after spending a lovely afternoon with friends. I was really sleepy because I'd been to a birthday party the night before and ended up kipping on my mate's couch in Brighton. And what was lovely about it was that even though we were both quite really far too knackered to do anything with our knackers,
yeah,
and our undercrackers, we still managed to have a really hot session with really low wow. effort, and I am all about that.
That is so good. We are all about the lazy set. Lazy
yeah,
show,
well, it yeah. was. It was maybe physically didn't involve a huge amount of movement, but the I was thinking about this, what were the like concentrated aspects that made this fuck really great, and I think one of the things is my partner is really good with his hands, and I don't Ooh. Just mean putting his hands on my glands, but he is really good at holding my face in a way. I've got quite a small peanut head and he's got quite big hands. But he holds my face in such a way that the tiniest movement can take that gesture from really tender and comforting and romantic and loving to very commanding and demanding and powerful.
Wow.
So it's the most minimal movement and change of intent can change the whole tone of the play.
Mm. Yeah.
And he's also really good that if, you know... I must outline in a very consensual way, if I'm tired, he's very good at turning that still into a kind of role play thing of, oh, well, I don't want you to move a muscle. And Ooh. I basically get wow. to be really subby and involved, you know, and enjoy that hotness, but also essentially get to be a lazy ass and yeah. not move as well. So,
sounds like perfection.
Yeah, I'm a weasel. He's very good at recognising what I need in that particular moment and what my mood is, but also managed to yeah. frame that in a way that maximises the hot. And love this is that. One of, I mean, he's a very skilled man. Yeah. He's a very skilled man.
It's so hard to have sex when you're so tired as well. Like, you're both lying in bed and you're like, oh, this is just that extra little bit of effort that I don't know if I can push myself over, but when you do, it's always so worth it, isn't it?
Well, this is another time when maybe penetration is not the one.
Yeah,
do something that's
it.
Less vigorous and energetic. Yes. Have you ever tried micro massage? No. Okay, it's when you lay next to your partner or how, you know, whatever formation you happen to flop down in.
Yeah.
And you're only allowed to touch them with the tiniest tip of your finger in like little tiny taps, little miniature circles. You can maybe breathe on them, but the smallest movements, not only does it help to like really focus the sensation, it feels incredibly intimate and it actually really ironically awakens you because Whoa. You're focusing on it, but it's also minimum effort.
Yeah.
I'm all about these techniques that are not doing a lot for a big return on investment.
Yeah.
Fuck number five.
The fuck that made me.
Did you know this podcast is powered by Acast? Acast is the home of podcasting. For creators looking for freedom to grow their listeners and make money too. And creative brands looking for smart ways to advertise. Podcasters and advertisers in the know Acast. It's time you did too. Visit acast.com to find out more. Acast, for the stories.
Now, I don't like the idea of one fuck changing my whole game. Not least because I think that as I evolve as a person, my sexual experiences will evolve. In fact, as I mentioned earlier, I'm 36 now. It has been a freaking revelation to me. I can have new types of orgasm that I hadn't experienced before. And this was like really quite recently. And it continues to be the case that I'm finding new forms of pleasure and new things that light me up.
Yeah.
It really bothers me that there's this common wisdom that people have a sexual peak in their lives.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to be 36 for women, right? That's your sexual peak. It's definite in stone.
It's absolute. I mean, it's based on Kinsey research, which when you look back at it, although Kinsey did a lot of incredible work, it's inherently really flawed in how it measures good sex. Uh-huh. For a start, I think part of that research was based on how many ejaculations that men were having and based their peak at their early teens. A lot of those ejaculations will have been into a Kleenex, and I doubt that anyone says that was the peak of their lives. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not that there's anything wrong with masturbation, but still.
No.
I hope that my erotic experiences are going to continue to change the game for me over and over again. I want to still be playing the game for my whole life. It's not game over for me.
This is the answer we've been waiting for, goddammit.
I hope that in my work as well, by talking about what I do, that I help change the game for other people.
Yeah, certainly.
I actually had a really moving experience recently where somebody who had given an incredible interview about her, again I'm afraid a traumatic experience that they'd been through, got in touch with me to say that they'd seen me years ago at a festival on the South Bank Centre in London called Women of the World. Mm-hmm. And I was there with a brilliant project called the My Body Back project that actually addresses the idea that people who've been through sexual trauma can reclaim their own pleasure, just as I was speaking about earlier. They run things like an organisation called Cafe V that gets women together to talk about things they've been through, but not just talking about how awful it was, but talk about their futures, about how great sex might be, about how they can reclaim their own bodies and their own pleasure. Mm-hmm. And part of this talk involved writing a postcode on your hand of where rape or assault or sexual trauma had happened to you. And I wrote my home postcode because the most sexually traumatic part of my life was related to my home.
Mm.
And unbeknownst to me, somebody in the crowd saw that and it stayed with them for years, and they went on to produce an award-winning piece of work about their own sexual trauma.
That's incredible.
Because I had been able
to
talk about it that day, and I had no clue actually until really recently.
Wow.
So I hope that the game changing I'm doing is proving that talking about things has positive impacts. Yeah. That means talking about the funny fuckery that is involved in fucks, talking about the tough stuff, and talking about how all of that, all of the whole things we do with our holes are involved with us as whole people.
Fucking hell. So our sex story is not wild or anything. A dude and I tried to have sex in his car parked in the country by some fields. Oh, we know about this today.
I swear I didn't send this
reminiscing. In. Reminiscing. His car was too small. The stick shift poked me a lot. Haha. So we got out of the car and walked into an empty field, and he took off his shirt and laid it on the grass. We had sex in the field at sunset, and it was really magical until we were done and looked up, and there were several sheep staring at us. One pooped, and we had to roll away so fast not to get pooped on by the sheep.
This is so similar to my experiences of my youth.
When we got up, the sky was pink and it was actually really lovely. The sheep said bah, and we walked back to the car.
I was waiting for someone to get a tick in their dick.
Photo of the actual thing afterwards.
Am I allowed a closer look?
Yeah, it's just
describe
it's
the
just
photo.
The guy there with the lovely like pink sky and a car parked in a field.
This picture actually looks like the beginning of a glorious erotic story.
Yeah. It really does.
A hunky-looking topless gent in a pair of classic blue jeans.
Yeah. I actually love stories like this because I love erotic novels. Oh yeah, I forgot you hadn't saw it.
Sorry.
Yeah, I love erotic novels. So like things like this just make me go, oh, I love this. It sounds so good. And you can just imagine it becoming this like saucy, passionate story.
Alex, it's been amazing. Thank you so much for coming and joining us.
It has been glorious to chat with you, although now I'm exiting stage left with a vision of Stephen King's It in some kind of erotic
I've already been there, already searched it, already looked that shit up. Yeah,
that is what
I
read.
I like all my horror fan fiction sex. I mean, Freddy Krueger, give me him any day. I'm all over that shit.
Well, it's nice to know you want to be pounded by Pennywise, Reed.
Mate, I've had a clown fetish since I was 13. I'm all over that.
Oh my God.
He's so hot as well. Oh, Skarsgård. Mm.
So, Alex, where can our listeners find you?
Slapped all over the internet at regular interval. Yeah. you can listen to me on BBC Radio 1's podcast Unexpected Fluids.
Yes.
You can also find me at The Modern Man with two N's, two for the price of one, .co.uk, where for the last 4 years I have been answering people's sexual queries.
Yes.
You can find me at Alex Fox, A-L-I-X, with one I, like Cyclops, on Instagram and on Twitter. And yeah, please do reach out. Tell me about what's happening in your world and in your down belows and up aboves. And let's talk more about sex.
Amazing.
Yes, let's all do it.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast today, guys. It's been lovely. So
please leave us a rating and a review.
And all the rest of the shebang.
Subscribe. Anyway, we will see you next week. We won't. You will hear us next week.
We're going to see each other tomorrow, mate. We've got another podcast recording. Way!
Loads of juicy stuff. Anyway.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Tatty bye and titty bye.
Did you know this podcast is powered by Acast? Acast is the home of podcasting. For creators looking for freedom to grow their listeners and make money too. And creative brands looking for smart ways to advertise. Podcasters and advertisers in the know Acast. It's time you did too. Visit acast.com to find out more. Acast, for the stories.